Well, today we're looking at this idea of worship, because the Psalms talk a lot about worship. Last week we looked at how God is with us in every circumstance, and today we're being very particular about what happens when we come to into church. And during the week as well, but particularly the story of David, was he was talking really about worship in the temple, and so I want to look at that briefly now. Listen to these words. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. It's great, isn't it? The joy in those opening lines about going to worship God. I wonder if that's how you feel in the morning about coming to worship here at St. Wilfred's. You get up and you're having the odd, trying to get the kids out of the house, you know. You know how difficult that can be, and you finally get them out and you get here. And the picture that David presents is one of joy. It's a bit like walking in to a place and putting your glasses on. How many people here don't have glasses? Wow, impressive. Well, most of us do. And so you put your glasses on, and that means that I can see clearly. And that is kind of what worship is about, coming into the presence of God and being able to see clearly. And that's sort of what David experienced in his life. David, of course, was a king, and no doubt he was someone who had all sorts going on all the time. Intrigues, decisions to make, all sorts of stuff going on that were difficult. And no doubt he had lots of things that distracted him. But it seems as though when you read the Psalms, when David came into the temple, that was where he felt most alive and himself. That's how it reads in the psalm, that he says, I come with joy. Because I come into the temple and all of a sudden all those things that are just crowding my mind out are sort of put on one side, and I am in the presence of God. And it's about location. You know the program, Location, Location, Location. Has anyone ever seen that? Seen that program? About, I don't know, a couple of years ago they came to Carverley, didn't they? And they bought a house in Salisbury Street, didn't they? Was that right? A young couple. So this is about these two, Phil Spencer and Kirsty Alsop, I think. And they basically, they get people to look at houses. And it's all, and what the thing is, it's all about location of the house, because the couple say, I want to live in Carverley. And then they look at, like, they go down to, you know, I don't know, Bramley, and they have a look there, or Rodley, and they say, well, you could look, you get a bit more for your money here, but we're going, no, I want Carverley. You know what I mean? And that's how it works. Well, David understands the importance of location. And in fact, the whole of Israel understood the importance of location, because for them, Jerusalem was the center. In our context, we have churches all over the place. And for you, probably, hopefully, the local church is the center of your spiritual life. And that's right, and as it should be. But in Judaism, it was a bit different to that. That when you went to Jerusalem, that was the center. That you went there for pilgrimage 3 times a year, and you physically went there. It wasn't just sort of, you actually went, you know, many, 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 many people went for the different festivals. And so David here is talking about the sense of location that he has in Jerusalem, but not just in Jerusalem, in the temple. And here's the question for us this morning to start with. Where are we located in our lives? Because we all are located somewhere. And those sort of things that sort of we think about when, like, we have time to think about, the things that we do when we have our own free time, tends to indicate something of where we're located. For some of us, there's all sorts of stuff going on in our lives, and we feel, we're not quite sure where we're located, because it's all swirling around us, swirling around, and there's stresses and strains and some really difficult things going on. And there's something here in the Psalms about locating ourselves in a particular place. And worship is a moment of doing that. You come into church and we locate ourselves here, but of course, spiritually and emotionally, we're looking up. And what's really strong comes out of the psalm here and our experience of worship is that one thing that is constant is God. And so as our life is going all around the place and is located, maybe we're not even quite sure where it's located, that we come in and God is located and God is solid and God is like an anchor. And that is the picture that we have, of course, for David. In the Psalms, there's often this pattern of people, it's called sort of disorientation leading to orientation. And people are feeling completely disoriented. And by the end of the psalm, the idea is that God locates us and orientates us. And that is what we have here. But I want to look very particularly at how he does that. What happens in worship that actually locates us and gives us that sense of presence? And the first thing I think that happens as we come into worship, first of all, it's voluntary. So that's a good place to be. No one is forcing. I hope no one has forced you this morning to come to church. This is not your, I'm not sort of paying you to come. You're not, you know what I mean? It's not like you're here voluntarily and you've come to because you want to be here and you want to worship. But even within that flexibility, what worship seems to do is it provides a framework for us. Has anyone here ever built their own house? Have we got any? Right. Okay. So if you're in Oz, in Australia, that's much more common. And also, because it's not, there's not lots of damp everywhere, it's much more common to have a building frame like this that is wooden. Here, I'm not even sure you can get a mortgage often, can you, for a wooden frame house because of all the issues with damp and that kind of thing. That, you know, you have, what you have to do is you put up the frame of the house first. And you put the frame up and then you build around that. And it seems as though for David, the whole point of worship is something like putting a frame up around yourself. And the frame, of course, is a structure for life that that locates us. Jerusalem, it says in that, the beginning of that psalm there, it says the way that it's built is kind of compact and organized. I don't know if you saw that in the psalm. And there's something about going to Jerusalem that is sort of solid and structured well for us. That's how it's pictured. And so when we come into worship, it kind of gives a little bit of structure and shape to our lives. When there's lots of different things going on, we come to worship and we focus, and somehow the pieces fit together. In any church on any Sunday morning, I look out and I see people with PhDs, and I see people who haven't finished school, and I see people who are in a really great place and people who are really struggling. I see people who are 5 years old and people who are 95 years old, although not today, I don't think. We've got a few five-year-olds, but not the other end. But we're all really different. The thing that draws us together is that we look up and we're worshiping God. And there's something in that process where, even when things are really all over the place for us, that worship gives us a level of structure, that we come into church and we worship God with our lives. And it gives us a sort of shape, just like going to Jerusalem and being in that city with shape, just like building a house and having the structure in place first. And so this is how David sees the world. His life was full of crazy stuff, like people trying to kill him and doing some really bad things himself. And you know what I mean? He had you name it, it happened to David, pretty much. It all happened to David. He was a guy who needed to locate himself and to have a structure for his life. And that's what worship provides. The second thing that's really obvious and really basic is that it's about our relationship with God. It's about our relationship with God. We do not come to worship for a reason that is not related to our relationship with God. And so the psalm is sort of making that point in a very, very clear way. This is where the tribes go to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. It's interesting, isn't it, how often we tend to think of things like how good worship is in terms of how we're feeling, or whether we come to church in terms of how we're feeling on a particular day. And it seems as though the way it's presented here is that worship is to actually, of course it takes in our feelings, but it's to take us to another place, even beyond that. And it's a place of stability and a place of drawing close to God. The good news is that the God that draws us close is a God full of love and full of truth and full of compassion. And the Holy Spirit that leads us on is a God, is the Holy Spirit who wants to lead us in a direction of fullness and life and to fill us with the gifts that he has for us. So we're in sort of safe hands. But that's a really key idea, that worship is fundamentally about actually our relationship with God. And for many of you, that's like, oh, well, we know. But it's important just to state that very, very clearly. I suppose the final thing that's really clear in worship is that it brings us right back to the Bible. On the picture here, there's a big meal, big smorgasbord. Has anyone ever gone to like a 5-course meal anywhere? Big meal. Anybody? No? Yeah? One or two? Where you have like 5 or 6 courses. They have those taster menus. And you just get like, you know, and they're ridiculously expensive, but they're fantastic as well at the same time. And you have all these different courses. When we come to worship, we come into a place where there's lots of different courses to eat from. And the key idea is that actually we're engaging with the Bible normally. When we're singing, most of those come out of the Bible. When we say the confession, that's something about handing things over to God. And then we have the Bible readings. And then we have the sort of preaching that's designed to bring the Bible alive. And so worship, it seems as though it's very strongly linked with the scriptures. And for us all to come, and this I think is what partly is what this psalm is saying, is that worship gives us that opportunity to engage with God's word in a new and a refreshing way, a bit like having a feast and a banquet. And, you know, as we grow in faith, what we find is that in a remarkable way sometimes the scriptures speak into our situations in a way that we couldn't really understand otherwise. And that's the ministry of God's Spirit, but it happens in worship. It's why it's so important to come and actually engage in that. Let's say worship on a Sunday, particularly, and I am focusing a lot on that because that's what the psalm is talking about, and probably takes an hour and a half, doesn't it? Because you've got to get up, get to church, and then be here for a bit of time. Okay, that is particularly, the busier you are, the more important that time is for you. The busier you are, the more important it is to set that time aside. Because, of course, it takes you out of your situation and gives you a bigger picture of the world. Even just by looking around at the congregation, but also by engaging with what God is saying to us and thinking about the world out there. It takes us away from our own sort of situations and it broadens. Our world becomes more spacious. And that somehow mysteriously happens. You're engaging with the Bible and through other people. But God makes us look up. And as we look up, we can look around. We can see the world is a big place. As we get more pressured in life, what happens is we normally feel squeezed and our lives start to shrink. But we come to worship and our lives expand and it starts to feel bigger because we see that God is big. And God, last night we wrote a psalm in the service. We did it. I just got people to shout things out. And we're talking about, you know, what we know about God, the world, and our feelings. And then I just did a psalm. And one of the kids said, the world is massive. The trouble is, when we're feeling under pressure and we're struggling, the world feels like it's closing in on us. Worship opens it up again and says, there's a big world out there that God, and God loves you and wants you to be a part of that. Which takes us on to the final idea in this passage, right at the end. It seems to be suggesting that worship isn't just about what happens for us or here, it goes out from here into the world. And it says this, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Many of those who love you... May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of your family, I will say, peace be with you. What a lovely idea. That word there, peace, is a word shalom. And it's a word that is not just about the absence of conflict or stress. It's bigger than that. It's a huge concept. It's about sort of total well-being. And so what the psalmist is saying, I mean, you would expect the king of the place to pray for the welfare of the city, wouldn't you? But he's actually saying, I want you to pray for the welfare of not just yourself, but to go bigger than that. And if you look at the picture, who can tell me what that picture is? Anyone observe it? It is Leeds. And it's the center of Leeds. It's the Trinity Center. And right on the side there, there's Holy Trinity Bore Lane. Right in the middle, there's the church there next to the Trinity Center on the way in. And that idea of shalom is that we had a call to pray for the city and to be engaged in the city. That we go out from here, but also go out into the world and into sort of, and we pray for the city and we're engaged in it. All over the place, there's stories of how people's faith makes a difference because we're called to make a difference in the world. We're not just called to keep it to ourselves. Actually, the church has been doing that for years in different ways. But it's a challenge to us as we think about the Spirit what we're actually called to do, that it's not about just about us, it's about the prosperity of the place that we're in. And I wonder how often we pray for the city of Leeds in our lives. Do you know what? Leeds, as generally speaking, in the UK, a lot of cities have a focus on praying for the city and the church making a difference. Funnily enough, Leeds, for a large city, it's a city where that doesn't happen very well. So down the road in Bradford, actually they're really good at praying together and working You see, there's something about Leeds historically where the church hasn't actually worked brilliantly together at making a difference on a big scale in terms of prayer. And there's lots of great little things going on. But it's really interesting, isn't it, that every city is different. And so I think over the next 10 years, one of the real challenges for the church in this city is to have a sort of a civic vision to transform the city in a good way, in a way that is full of the kingdom breaking in. People working together, laying aside differences and actually seeing what we can do. That is the picture from this psalm. And so the psalm here is saying it's a place to come into, a spacious place that we come into that provides a bit of structure for our lives, provides the meaning for our lives. It helps us with a relationship with God. It helps us engage with the world to make us see that God's world is bigger than our world and that actually we can be a part of that. But then it sends us out into the world to be a part of what God is doing here. I don't know what, I know what most of you do. If you're working, some of you are. We all have a role to play in the world, but we also have a role as a church to see what can we do as a church to make a difference. Worship is a wonderful thing, isn't it, to come into the presence of God, but it challenges us as well to go out in a very powerful way. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to worship. And as we begin to understand what it means for us, we pray that you would speak into our lives in new ways. In Jesus' name, amen.